Welcome, welcome, welcome. This is the Distraction Pieces podcast, episode 510. I hope you're all well. We've got something a bit different this week. A new maybe regular format of an episode that me, Chris and Stu are going to be doing. Welcome to Fantasy Film Casting, episode one with Chris and Stu of the Hardcore Listening podcast. In this, we're going to be picking a few things to fantasy cast. I really enjoyed it. I hope you really enjoy it. It's quite a long one because we got really into it. We've got loads more that we want to do, but if you enjoy this and it gives you any ideas, number one, tell us your fantasy film castings for these. And number two, tell us things you'd like to hear us fantasy cast in the future. It'll all make sense once you listen to the episode, I promise. But yeah, I'm not really on socials myself at the moment, but I'm keeping an eye on the Distraction Pieces ones. I'm keeping an eye on general. So if you tag or post anything, I'll probably see it. But ideally, on the Distraction Pieces Instagram post about this episode, post your dream castings of these characters. Argue with us as much as you like. And as I said, crucially, tell us more things that you'd like to see if we do this again. We'd love to hear from you. As ever, we're brought to you by speechdevelopmentrecords.com. That's where you can buy all the merch. And patreon.com/ScroobiusPip, where you can support the podcast. But also patreon.com/hardcore listing or hardcore listing. Just search their Patreon. It's easy to find, I'm sure. That's where you can support these boys. They're back to putting out episodes every week at the moment. So check Hardcore Listing out if you're new. If you've not heard our drunk casts, go and dig your teeth into them. If you didn't hear the episode that me, Chris and Stu did a while ago, Top 5 Songs That Make Us Cry, I believe it was a two-parter, but it was a really good one. Yeah, as this is a long one, I'll stop rambling. Let's get into the podcast. This is episode 510 of the Distraction Pieces podcast, and this is Fantasy Film Casting, episode 1. Number one, let's call it. Fantasy film casting, hashtag one, which means number one, with Chris and Stu. Let's go. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces. This piece of fiction is the intro to Distraction Pieces.
I've pressed record. Yep. I look good. I sound good.
You do, always. Right, I'm here today with Stuart Whiffin and Christopher Glasson of the Hardcore Listing podcast and of the Drunk Cast. How are you both, guys?
All right.
I'm good.
That's
I'm
a
good.
Really nice smile you gave then, Stu.
He's got a lovely smile, I always think.
He was giving a sarcastic one. He was giving it was a... He was being...
Just showing off one eye.
Yeah, he's being a right wally, to be honest. You were looking down, so you missed it, thankfully. Might have changed your opinion of him. I wonder what your opinion would be of Stu if you paid attention more.
Oh no, it'd be like we wouldn't be doing recording a podcast together.
I've said that countless times. If I met you now, we wouldn't be friends.
Yeah, it's kind of true. It is kind of true. Well, but you know, I'm if you don't think about him too much, then he's tolerable. And just to call him out, we did a podcast last night to celebrate his 50th.
Yeah.
And it was lovely. We had all our guests doing top five things we love about Stu, and his laugh and smile came up. Just want to call out, though, that he's wearing the same T-shirt he was wearing last night.
I am.
Brilliant.
I am.
You animal.
Brilliant.
Absolute animal.
How are you, Pip? Are you all right?
He's off to France later, so... He's a busy boy. Yeah, I'm good, mate. I'm good. And I should say what we're here to do. I can't remember if I spoke to you guys about this years ago, but I've had this idea for a while. And originally it was going to be a separate podcast. And then I've not got time for separate podcasts. Stu's actually at the legal limit of podcasts.
Yeah.
Currently illegal in some states in America.
But yeah, I remember at school and at college, in our college days, Chris, there'd be loads of fantasy film casting. You'd kind of be like, there'd be a rumour. It's kind of pre-internet, so you couldn't disprove things as well.
You'd be like,
oh, there's a film. Have you heard they're making like a He-Man film? Have you heard it? And all this. And that was a lot of fun. And I thought it'd be good to do a little podcast of that. So you guys came to mind. And I thought I'd see if you fancy it.
Yeah, no, it's a tricky one. And actually, some of the ones you've picked are the classics that that people sort of like really dreamt over. And it's funny you say the He-Man one, because it kind of spurred a lot of speculation on one of the ones we're going to do today.
It's the one that comes to mind every time. And I've almost got the people we used to suggest as kids in my head still. But yeah, we'll get on to that.
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
But I mean, just on the subject, have any of you seen any good films recently?
Yes, or the He-Man Masters of the Universe.
With Dolph Lundgren.
That was pretty good. Great recently. I saw that.
Chris, I wanted to tell you about, because I bumped into a mutual friend, Aaron, the other day, and I'd just been to see, I've been to see a film called Air, which is all about the creation of the Air Jordans. Genuinely really good. It's Ben Affleck and Matt Damon back together again. It's really good. But I asked him if he'd seen anything good, and I could see him kind of pause, maybe a little embarrassed, and I knew what he was going to say because I saw it as well and loved it. But the Dungeons & Dragons film.
Yeah, I haven't seen it yet.
Said
and I hear it's really good.
Really
funny
good
enough,
fun.
Yeah, one of the cast members of that is going to get a shout out today. So excellent. That's a nice tenuous link.
It's got a lot of lazy, easy comparisons to Guardians of the Galaxy, because it is just a bunch of ragtag kind of losers all coming together to do good kind of thing. But yeah, I went in, I wasn't going to go and see it because I didn't have a particular interest in it for some reason. I think all of, we've talked a lot about them doing your Warhammer type world, but it feels it needs to be dark and broody and serious, and this looked like a kid's film as such. But I'd heard good reviews, so I thought I'll give it a look. Yeah.
I think like the last time they tried it, and what's his bollocks from The Crystal Maze was in it. And it was just a bit shit.
I'm not even aware of that.
It was a bit shit. So I was a bit like, but I've heard that it's not awful, and it's actually worth a watch. So I'll do that.
Yeah. I know what you mean. I'm just very skeptical. You know, I just think if you're going to mess with,
he's
going
to make a joke,
like,
guys. Just so
Warhammer, like you've got to get it right.
Stu. Yeah.
Because again, if you're
casting, get so angry, won't you,
mate? I would literally just launch my dice across the room, and I'd be so upset if they cast, you know, I don't know, James Corden as an orc. I'll be very, very unhappy, mate.
He's not. He's more a river troll. I think we can all agree. Interestingly, he may also get a shout out in this episode, James Corden. So get you all a little bit excited.
Well,
yeah.
To give people an idea, I wanted to structure it a bit. We're going to try and do three. And as I said, I'm hoping that we do a few of these over the months and years. Mm-hmm. And I thought the structure would be good to pick
steady
a cartoon.
On, mate.
Years.
Slow down.
For the rest
fucking
of our
hell.
Lives. Yes. Stu is getting on. I hope me and Chris do a few of these over the years.
We'll recast you and we'll get an orc in. We'll be able to do CGI by that point.
Imagine this time in 2 years' time. I'm here with Chris Glasson and my mate James Corden. how are you, James? A legendary laugh. So I thought we'd pick a cartoon, a film, and a TV show, all to kind of recast. In my mind, we're casting them as a feature film adaptation, but I guess it doesn't make a big difference in the era of big TV shows. Mm-hmm. But the three we're going to do are The Breakfast Club, The A-Team, and the one that we have to start with because it was the classic playground one, Thundercats. So
absolutely.
Let's start there. Who wants to start with your pitch for Lionel? Again, the structure is going to be that we've all kind of come up with our ideal casting, and we'll debate it a bit, and we'll come up with a final list. We'll send it off to Hollywood, and their nerds will get on with it.
Yeah, exactly. We'll debate it for a bit, come to the conclusion that all my selections are correct, and then we'll fire it off to, we'll send it to Brett. Brett knows.
Brett will get it made.
Brett's the man. He met the president the other day, so I mean,
The president the other day, and he's current TV show has got Harrison Ford in. And he told a story in a newspaper recently, or an article recently, of the first time he met Harrison to kind of seal the deal. And it's ridiculous. Yeah. I recommend going and reading that. But yeah, he'll get it made. He can get all these people in it. So Chris, you start with Lion-O.
All right, sure. So Lion-O, the leader of the pack in Thundercats. I mean, for anyone, any listeners who aren't, you know, old as hell like us lot. It was like a cartoon that came in like out in the late 80s, 90s, one of the best theme tunes of all time. And it's about basically humanoid cat people who have got to relocate their home to Planet Earth 3 or something like that. It's all very high action. It's basically a sort of like He-Man was smashing it and they were probably like, we need to get in on this action. We need to get a new toy line going.
And what and else is good? It, cats.
Really. Yeah, cat. And plus, everyone loved cats. This is before cat videos.
Yeah. So it's before dogs were invented, isn't it? Yeah. It's before dogs were invented.
Pre-dog, we had cats. And because it was the 80s, they were obviously going to be beating the ever-living piss out of each other and other animals. Because that was basically
think,
every...
Do you think lightning dogs got shelved first? Like, because you'd pitch heavy with a dog first, wouldn't you?
Yeah. It's just occurred to me, there's a new TV show at the moment, a Daisy May Cooper one called Rain Dogs, which I've not started yet. And I'm now wondering if it's Thundercats related.
It might be.
I finished it yesterday. I'd highly recommend that show.
It's good. Yeah, I've heard fucking it's good. Great.
So anyway, the leader of the pack, the Thundercats kind of version of He-Man was Lion-O, where Thundercats, or he said something else, didn't he, with his Sword of Omens, where gave him special powers. It's going to be big budget, so you're going to need a few big names in here. You're going to need to pull in some names, right? So,
and this is at least on the surface your lead. Again, it feels like any of those things. It's like he's the leader, but you're going to have someone else who's going to pop up as the real favourite. But
yeah, exactly. And like, so whose face looks a bit like a lion? Who's got a bit of a pull? Well, I think Chris Pratt's face looks a bit like a lion, and he's done action roles.
Now, this weirdly is going to come up, but I kind of noted that we can't just, because we could, you literally, it was only when I was planning this, the Guardians of the Galaxy are the Thundercats. you could have Chris Pratt, you could have Gamora as Chitara, Dave Bautista as Absolutely. As Panthera, Snarf is the little rocket raccoon. Like, it's literally, you could just go, let's just get the Guardians gang and make it Thundercats. But
I'll tell you what, let's move on from Thundercats then. We've saw
that's all in Guardians it is.
I mean, like, the funny thing about Chris Pratt is, I think what has made him so popular recently is he's got a bit of, you know, he can act, he's got a sense of humour, he's bodied up. So kind of he's done quite well in that whole frame of frames. But look, if you my other person who's also got a bit of a lion type face, or do you not want me to call out my backup?
Who's your honourable mention? You've gone for Chris Pratt.
My honourable mention, who's got a bit, his face looks a bit like a lion. And he also, I mean, that's like a very base level to be recruiting someone, right? So maybe I shouldn't be a casting director. We're looking for someone who's got a bit of a lion-y face, even though we've got CGI these days. Like Sam Worthington, he's done Avatar.
Sam Worthington, okay, yeah.
He's done Avatar. He's got a sort of like, if you're doing a big budget thing, he's got a degree of a pull, but also he's very used to big green screen pretending to be another alien life form. He also did a small film, I believe, called Cold Skin. I don't know if any of you guys watched that. Where I think it's called Cold Skin. He basically, he puts himself forward for some genetic trials that sort of turn him into a sort of super soldier type thing. Nice. I think he was doing that in the 12-year hiatus between Avatar 1 and
he's a weird one because when Avatar came out, he was tipped to be the next, obviously, next big action guy, and it never really happened.
He did Clash of Titans and all those bits, didn't he? And they're probably big films. And then, I don't know, I haven't followed his career since. I don't know if it was personal reasons he got out or like Hollywood does. It can sometimes just get a bit, you know, bored of someone and move on.
I mean, I was going to mention the classic school playground casting of this, but I want to check Stu's selection first because it feels like it could be someone he'll throw in. Who are you thinking for Lion-O, Stu?
Well, a few things I should say first. I've never seen Thundercats.
Yep, great start.
but obviously when I was researching for this, when I looked at what they all look like and did go and look at YouTube, did remember the theme tune. My brother would have been watching it. And I remembered the theme tune and it is a banger. And so I just thought, well, look, the leader of the pack's Lion-O. He's obviously got to have something about him. He's got to be a natural born, you know, front person, big voice, Barry Gibb.
It's fantastic mane, an absolutely fantastic mane.
Barry Gibb, circa 77.
You'd save on CGI, I guess. He could just...
Absolutely.
The, That could all be pin done in hair and makeup. Pin a towel.
It does look a bit
pin
like
a towel on the BG.
Has Gib had much facial stuff done? Because when you have a lot of work done, you end up looking like a cat anyway, don't you?
I think he naturally looked like that. Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the school a playground tip for this or rumour for this was always Mel Gibson. In that Gibson, era, in kind of 90s.
Evil Weapon mullet.
It was like Gibson.
The Riggs mullet. Yeah.
But I'm not comfortable casting Gibson in anything these days because he's just got a bad history of not being the best person. So let's move on for that. Well, the person I had down for Lion-O, and I thought over your Chris Pratts, all of those, your Chris Hemsworths, all of these, but it's 2023 and it feels like why would you have something and not cast Pedro Pascal? Because he's just that wonderful. Just, he can't miss at the moment. Yeah, The Last of Us is amazing. The Mandalorian, even the more kind of weird things he does.
The unbearable weight of... what is it? The unbearable weight of Thingy Talent with Nick Cage. That's great. And he's absolutely fantastic in that as well. He's really good.
So I've got Pedro in there. And again, I think he can be action-y enough, but I think he'll be a likeable... leader. It feels like Lion-O has to kind of be the oldest of the lot because he is also the kind of the father figure a bit. So yeah, I've got Pedro Pascal there. And shall we move on to a Chitara, every schoolboy's crush?
Just very quickly, did you guys ever see, I mean, Shu wouldn't have done this, wouldn't have seen this, probably would have had no interest in it, but did you see where they did the fan fiction trailer for Thundercats about 10 years ago?
No, I didn't.
You've never seen that.
I'll have to have a look at that.
So it was really kind of, it was one of the almost pioneering fan fiction trailers where you didn't know that it was bullshit. Yeah. It was before fake news.
Right, yeah.
So like I watched it and went, oh, wicked, Brad Pitt is Lion-O.
Brad Pitt, right, yeah.
And it looked really good. And so there's some other, I'll give a few shout outs to some other people, but obviously that's 10 years ago. And what I found quite difficult when doing all of this this recasting is, especially for one of the next ones, is like age. Yeah. And like sometimes I don't think it matters. And actually, I'm going to do that. It's a nice link into Chitara. Yeah,
go ahead.
So I am going to go for, I had a few people, but the wonderful actress / model from all the way back to one of my favourite films, the Linklater, Dazed and Confused, Mila Djokovic.
Okay. Yes, excellent.
And the reason being is that she has done loads of action films.
She did
now,
all the Resident Evil loads. Ones, isn't she?
So she knows how to commit to an action role. So she'd be very much in that sort of thing. And also, she's previously said, I'd love to play Chitara.
Amazing.
Like, so I think she wrapped up one of her last films and was like, yeah, no, I mean, I think it's probably, I'd always wanted to do Thundercats. And she said, yeah, but maybe my time has passed for that because maybe I'm getting on a bit. And I'm thinking, Mila, you look insanely great for your age. You're really in great shape. And also, fuck that. I mean, like, I think you fit the role.
Yeah.
So I'd absolutely pop her in there.
I like it.
Yeah, so I was thinking that. I was thinking... there's another actress. She was in a movie called, did you ever watch this one, The Babysitter? It was about 2017.
Yeah.
It's a cool little horror flick.
Yeah, on Netflix, wasn't it?
Yeah, there's Samantha Weaving. Yeah. I haven't seen the second one.
She's really good. She's been in a few different horror things, hasn't she, over the years?
Mm.
Yeah.
I think she's got about the right fit for Chitara. Obviously, Chitara's insanely smoking hot.
Yeah.
But I think, you know, she's got a bit of a, need to have a bit of something about her, and I think Sam would do that really well. So yeah, that was my backup. If Mila was like no, but I'd be 100% trying to back that, you know, Mila. Even I don't care how, I don't know how old she is, I don't care. She's my girl.
Who you got? Tina Turner?
No. I mean, Tina Turner obviously has worked alongside the aforementioned Melvin Gibson in Beyond the Thunderdome. Fantastic actress. No, I mean, Tina Turner's too old, so I'm going for a younger model for this one. Somebody that can hold their own, not just on camera like Chrissy's choice, someone that is legit cut out for action. I imagine Mila Jovovich is still demanding big money from an agent. I imagine my choice, you could probably get £70 a day plus lunch. I'm going to go for Jet from Gladiators.
Incredible.
Amazing choice.
Yeah.
I just think.
And if Jet says no, lightning.
Exactly. The possibilities are endless. They'd have each other's numbers. Like, if she went up for it, just get their number, give them a call. I think Jet would be well up for it. I think she'd be great. I think Imagine if you saw Jet cast.
Strong.
It'd be amazing, starring Jet from Gladiators.
It's that era as well. Like, so, like, all the fans of Thundercats are also fans of Jet. It's like, it's a Venn diagram, isn't it? Mm-hmm. They're basically overlapping circles.
Yeah.
So, yeah, get her. Or, as you say, if you can't get Jet, get Lightning, because the title of the movie is Thundercats, and that's as good a reason to recruit her as anything you've put forward, Stu. Oh,
do you know what? As I'm saying this, and I'm now thinking, Wolf as Lion-O would be fucking great, wouldn't it?
Full Gladiators cast as Thundercats.
Wolf would be incredible.
Shadow as Panthro.
You see, Chitara is the one I'm most confident on. Or maybe I've got two. I've got two. I think one, I assume, is where Chris has got James Corden, and I think I've got that beat. So for Chitara, I've got Sophia Boutella. You familiar with Sophia Boutella, who was in The Kingsman, doing all the kind of action there? She's got a bit of a catty face, a feline. Mm. She's got feline features.
Cheekbones going on. Yeah.
Currently just finished film with a friend of both our podcasts, Ed Skrine, Rebel Moon, which is Zack Snyder's new big kind of, it looks like he's kind of trying to start his own Star Wars type huge sci-fi universe thing, with her character as the lead, as an alien of some sort that's been moved from their planet and is a kind of alien immigrant and is starting the revolution to fight back. And yeah, I just think she's got the history in films of combat, of all sorts of stuff like that. And I think she's the right age as well. Yes. She is young enough to make that one work. So yeah, that's my
nice
tip
shout,
there.
Good shout. Yeah, I like it a lot.
We go over to Tigra next. I'm going to keep this direction on this one, as Chris is going to take it really seriously and Stu's going to get bored and then Stu's going to be silly. And then on the next one, I'll go over to Stu first, because I think Breakfast Club's more his era. But yeah, who've you got for Tigra?
It is more of his era. I'm just going to sabotage. I've got some great choices for Breakfast Club. I'm just going to sabotage the fuck out of it now.
Breakfast Club was the hardest one on the age scene that we talked about.
One. Yeah, it is easily the hardest one. Are we with Tigra now?
Yeah, Tigra.
I found this guy the hardest, because Tigra, I don't know, it was. I think he was always kind of in Lion-O's shadow, poor Tigra. Yeah. I mean, like, Lion-O had the Sword of Omens and his neat claw hand, and Tigra got a whip.
Yeah.
So no kink shaming here, though, you know. He was like the level-headed warrior who was like the nerd of the bunch as well. So although he was like bodied up, he was also like, he was the guy who invented all their technology and stuff. Stu's nodding like, yeah, you remember that.
He was the Donatello.
He was the Donatello of the pack. So I really struggle with this. I've got down a Jake Gyllenhaal type, because he can get himself bodied up. He can play a reasonably straight man. He played Mysterio not that long ago.
Yep, yep.
And he nailed that. I thought he was really good as Mysterio. Yeah, so you don't see him in a lot of fantasy sci-fi stuff. I haven't seen him in that much. But I think he could nail the role. I mean, Donnie Darko, I guess, is sci-fi to an extent.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think he could play that sort of like slightly more straight backup man to someone like the Lion-O's that we've mentioned. So I think he looked good with a whip in his hand.
His physique, for some reason, doesn't, I think,
he's a bit more squatty.
Yeah, he's a bit, exactly it. He's a bit squat. I've got a couple there, but again, this is the one I struggled on the most. They're ones I'm not married to, but who from the 80s have you got, Stu?
No, I've gone more modern times. I just had a little look at him, and I've gone for Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran.
Cool. Is this because he's ginger and Tigra's got some?
You said that. Hair. I didn't.
Scandalous.
That's not a woke thing to call someone ginger, Stu.
Yeah, I'm going to go for
ginger these days.
Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran. Well, moving straight on to me then. I've got two here, and I want to see Chris's reaction.
I've got another one. I've got a backup one. So, who's probably bodied better, but I'm saving.
You've
him for
done
later.
More prep for this podcast than you have for the whole 5 years of Hardcore Listing.
People don't want prep for Hardcore Listing. they want us dribbling in their ears for an hour, Stu.
So my easy choice on this was Ryan Gosling. Because why not?
Yeah.
He's good looking. Yeah. He's Ryan Gosling. He's as adept in kind of indie films as he is in big blockbusters. Mm-hmm. Only problem is, would he be a kind of sidekick? But he's Ken in the new Barbie, isn't he? So that's the kind of ultimate sidekick as such. So
yeah. Gosling's the man. But I don't think he's like Gyllenhaal's too squat. Gosling, I mean, he's bodied up in the new Barbie. He's a handsome, a wonderful man.
Yeah, he's too much of a lead, isn't he?
Yeah, well, yeah.
Have this then, another lead, but I think he will work here.
Mm.
Keanu Reeves.
Okay, yeah.
I think Keanu could work. That came up really last minute in my head, and he's a bit old. Yeah. He's probably older than Pedro, but he's out. But I think he'd be really good as kind of the moody.
They're all going to be turned orange, and turn into sort of like cat-like things. So age isn't
the biggest thing here.
It ain't that important. Do you know what I mean? Like, it really doesn't matter what their age or background is, because they're going to be made fucking orange anyway. Yeah. So. Yeah, I mean, fair enough. I did have another one, but I don't want to keep throwing these names out because they might pop. They felt more appropriate for later on.
Well, we can hold off on that if you want.
I'll do a callback to. I think that person could have played Tiger. There's actually a few other guys who were like. Do you remember just quickly in the Punisher, the geezer who played is it Crossbones in Punisher? Don't worry, I can't be bothered to get into it. Yeah, don't worry. Let's move on.
Panthra.
Oh yes,
big muscly bloke.
Yeah.
Basically is what we're looking for here. Who have you got, Chris?
So he's strong, and the last thing to go is power. So I don't, and they say with age, the last thing to go is power. So again, I think the Thundercat, I kind of quite like the fact that the Thundercats casting is a bit older.
Yeah. Well, they're meant to have a family dynamic, aren't they? So I think you could have some older and some younger, it can kind of vary a bit.
Yeah. But I'm going to go with Michael Jai White.
Okay. I know you want to cast him in everything just because Spawn didn't work out how everyone hoped.
Listen, it didn't work out for him. He lost his... He didn't get the shine that he deserved.
That's good.
But actually, look, let's have it right. He's way, way athletic enough. He's muscly as hell.
Mm.
He can act like a mean badass like Panthro. Also, he's a martial arts expert who's really good with a set of nunchucks.
Yes, that's a good
shout. And Panthro used nunchucks.
I hadn't thought about the nunchucks. I was going to say maybe he's too athletic in that you think of Panthro as the power one rather than the jumper. But yeah,
he's
the
also
nunchucks
a cat.
Is a great shout. Yeah.
I mean, he has like under 10%. Like us three, he's got under 10% body fat, Panthro. And so is Michael Jai White. So, you know. Also, he played, I think the whole Thundercat thing does lean itself potentially a little bit campy. And or with a bit of funny bones, and he played Black Dynamite, and Black Dynamite is a wonderful comedy parody of the blaxploitation genre.
Yeah,
have you seen that, Stu? Have you watched Black Dynamite?
No,
it's very funny. So I think he could do that. He can get that comedy edge if you need to slip that into it as well. So
Panthro is quite camp.
No, but Thundercats is a there's a degree of like all of that. Even He-Man, there's a slight
it's a load of people in their underwear. Being cats, isn't it? So,
yeah.
Right.
Yeah, who've you got, Stu? Who've you got? Come on. That's clearly queuing you up.
Yeah. No, I was just, when you said camp, then I was going to move Ainsley Harriott, but I'm not. I'm going to go with my original. I'm going to stick with John Fashanu.
John Fashanu. Okay. Can we?
Did you watch Gladiators last night by any chance?
I mean, speaking of wokeness and being cancelled, can we try and figure out why is Panthro black? Because all the castings in school playground kind of thing would always go that route. It's like they're all just weird colours, but for some reason he comes across as the black member of the team.
It's very odd that, because in that trailer that I said, the fan made one, they geniusly did Ving Rhames in it.
Ving Rhames was always, again, that's what I was going to say, was always the kind of pick for the playground casting.
He's just giving off that vibe, and he's just a dude. I don't know. I don't know why we go towards that for Panthro.
It's weird, isn't it? Well, I've gone for going back to Guardians. I've gone for Dave Bautista because I think he looks like Panthro, his face. You'd need. He's got quite a feline face as well for such a big hulking dude.
Yeah.
I think he you wouldn't need to do an awful lot of work. You'd put some funny ears on him.
You're catching at a
fairies
convention.
Yeah, 100%. 100% he's into that. So yeah, I've got Dave Bautista there. So we've got a few more here. We've got Snarf and we've got Mumra. I've added honourable mentions of Kit and Kat, but You know, I didn't send you to prep for that, so I only thought that last minute. But let's go for Snarf. Who have you got for Snarf, Chris?
Snarf is kind of a loser. He's a bit pathetic. And also, I think, you know, if you're going to use all that CGI anyway, you don't really need to cast anyone that's going to command a lot of money. So originally, I did have Stu down as playing Snarf. I just think you could really nail Snarf, Stu. But then I realised that, you know, that's probably quite upsetting for you, and you're too good for Snarf. So that's why I then thought of James Corden.
Of course, James Corden was here. This was the one that, as soon as you mentioned James Corden might be popping up later, I was like, Snarf?
Snarf? Snarf? I think everyone wants to see James Corden play a pathetic fat cat again.
The returning role. Yeah, it makes sense. It makes sense. Stu, who have you got in Snarf's role?
Irritant. Just annoying. I've gone for Andy Peters.
Okay, I thought you were definitely going back to Chris then and casting each other as Snarf. Andy Peters, great. I mean, can you pay him enough to get him off of this morning for a month or two's filming? I don't know. He's probably
100%.
He's probably got it.
Tell him
made.
He's going to be in a film, mate. Oh, we jump at the chance.
He'd be now, there, wouldn't he?
I've gone for, again, this is another one I'm quite confident on. I've gone for Seth Rogen. I thought one of you might go for Jack Black because Jack Black and Seth Rogen are the two that fit in my mind as little cuddly cats.
Do you think Seth,
the comic
do you think
relief.
Seth, he's got the cuddliness. He's got the cuddly vibe, Seth. But I don't ever recall Snarf sounding like... He smokes 30 fags a day.
Yeah, and not fags, joints. Let's go straight in. Maybe. Yeah, that could be a push. I've got. I went to see the Mario film yesterday. Really
good. Is it good?
And Seth Rogen's in that as Donkey Kong, and Jack Black's in that as King Koopa. So both of them work well in the CGI type world.
I think Jack Black. I'd could get behind more.
I didn't
Jack
even
Black.
Write Jack Black down, but yeah, I think that's winning it for me now because it does feel like it's and again, he's got a big beard. Like he looks like Snarf at the moment. His face and hair and his build, everything. He's another one who could just turn up and play Snarf.
But I just think if you offer James Corden enough money, if you've put enough money in that in his face, he will eat that big shit bowl of shit, and everyone will really enjoy that. Him having to parody himself as a cat again, I just think it's too good an opportunity to miss, in my opinion.
I think you're right, but I think we're so focused on if we could, we're not worrying about if we should. And I think we definitely could. So on to Mumra, and this was a weird one to cast because Stu will be lost on this. But we need the old man version and the big demon version because Mumra starts off as a little withering old mummy and then goes in his tomb and it spins around and he comes out as Mumra the ever-living. Yeah. What are your thoughts on this, Chris?
I've got two suggestions here.
Okay.
But you were like, the old man and then like the pumped-up, roided-up version. But like with special effects these days, what they do, I mean, look at what they did with like, for example, the Hulk or Thanos.
Yeah.
You know, they don't have those body types.
Yeah.
And yet they look wild. So you could always have the same character, but I'm torn between two people here. I think Bill Nighy did wonderful in, if you remember, Underworld.
Mm-hmm.
And he played the old vampire.
Really good.
Was it
show.
Marcus or Victor? Victor. It's just so good in that. It's just, I love that movie anyway. And he's got vampires in. They're the ones that suck your blood, Stu, vampires.
Yeah,
dog soldiers.
That's it. They're the ones, mate. They're the ones. I thought he played that role wicked. Yeah. So he's already got previous, I think.
Bill Nighy's a good
player. But where I sort of lent more into, I think who could play a really good mental, pumped-up Mumra as well as a withered old mummy would be Willem Dafoe.
Nice. I think he
would do quite well in that. I mean, Willem Dafoe can just play any villain, really. But yeah.
I like it.
That's my choice.
Stu, who've you got?
I'm going to start with Burgess Meredith, who played Mickey in the Rocky franchise.
Okay.
Okay.
Is he alive?
No, he's dead.
Okay. No,
are we just going to get one of those hologram ones, like Tupac?
It's a fantasy film, right? They're not real cats. Sure. So just going to start like that.
Yeah.
And then I think I was torn between something like Hench and that, but I wanted something that was still quite wizardy and quite wise, but equally terrifying. So I'm going to go with Mr. Claypole from Rent-A-Go.
Okay. Can't believe you've not gone for Stallone, have him turn from Mickey into Rocky.
Yeah. Imagine that.
Go in his little tomb.
Coming back comes as John out. Rambo.
Yes, John. Yes. Well, now, for my original old man version, I've got someone who's, I know Stu's a big fan of, but I don't know if he is recently.
I've got to change that. I'm sorry, Pip. I've got to interrupt you and change
it. Okay,
go
ahead.
You put Stallone in my head. Right, Estelle Getty is going to play it, right? So it's going to be, I'm going to recast Stop on My Mama Shoot, right? So at first, it will be Estelle Getty from The Golden Girls, and it will then merge into Stallone.
Nice.
That's where I'm going with it.
I like it. It's a beautiful one. Have either of you watched a TV show called Barry?
No, we've talked about it briefly. Pip,
really good, really good. It's winning loads of awards. It's a comedy kind of drama thing about a hitman who kind of goes undercover as an actor. Like he's trying to get out of being a hitman, and he becomes an actor. Mm-hmm. His acting teacher is Henry Winkler, and Winkler is getting so much praise for his performance in this. It's honestly, as we've got onto the third series, I think it's taken over as the Fonz for me. It's his best performance. Obviously, the Fonz is iconic. I know. Mm. Calm down, Stu. Mm. Stu's flipped his table. He'll be back in a minute. So I've got Henry Winkler and then turning into John Cena just because it's a big, muscly guy. He's doing a lot of acting. He's doing a lot of things. But I also like the idea, kind of on Chris's thing of putting... forcing James Corden through horrible things. And this isn't someone I dislike, but we make Christian Bale do both.
Yeah.
So we make him cut down to be a withered old man, and then we make him bulk up to become the big, muscly
sort of
villain of the piece.
Absolutely. I was thinking that for Defoe. Like, you could get him to play that, and then you just get him on the Thor training plan. Yeah. Where these actors just absolutely just start bursting.
Because
Bale
loves transforming.
He does
for roles. Yeah. It's his main thing. And him in the most recent Thor film, I think it was, as the bad guy, was this kind of scary, withered Mum-Ra type character. Mm. So yeah, that's who I've got there. I think I'm leaning towards a Willem Dafoe though. Before we go through and firm up for Kit and Kat. I've just put down Barry Keoghan, who's
incredible.
Just amazing in everything at the moment.
Great shout.
And Anya Taylor-Joy, who I think could just make a great brother and sister.
So
that's it. So let's firm up. Lion-O, who are we going for? We got Pedro Pascal, we got Chris Pratt, I think were the main two. Are we going to mention any of Stu's? We got Barry Gibb.
I don't know. It does feel like that. He's Gibb is taking a lead. I mean, Pascal's kind of on a hot.
I don't
hot
know who
streak
he is.
At the moment.
Who is he?
Pedro Pascal.
He was in Narcos. He's in The Last of Us. He's
Game of Thrones. Prince Oberon
Game
gets
of Thrones.
His head.
Oh, right.
You know the guy who gets his head smashed open.
Yeah.
That one. That lad.
Let's go Chris Pratt. I feel like he's...
He'll pull the numbers in.
Yeah, he'll pull the numbers in.
Pedro's nearly up there, but I think Pratt, in terms of like draws, probably slightly larger at the moment. But okay, fair enough.
And then...
Chitara, I think you... I like Mila, but I do think your choice was probably...
I think Sophia Bertella works there.
I was talking to... I was talking about...
Jet.
I was talking to Stu then.
I know.
No. Obviously Jet. Yeah.
I'm not taking any of Stu's on board, seriously. Tigra, who are we settling on there? Are we going for Keanu?
Yeah, I'm happy with Keanu because, I feel Jake is too squatty.
Yeah.
Still going back to squatty.
And then I think probably it's the nunchucks that sold me on Michael Jai White.
Yeah, Michael, come on, take a sip of coffee, stand up. You're back in. You're back at the silver screen, mate.
And then I reckon
Panthro,
Jack Black has snuck in and stolen it as Snarf.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I agree. Like, you're right.
I just don't want to give James Corden work.
He's too busy. He's got too many. He's suggested too many other roles.
And then Willem Dafoe, right?
Yeah. Good. That's tight.
It's a great cast.
It's a great cast. Yeah, it's a great cast.
Sorry, Stu. On to the Breakfast Club, though.
Yeah. Let's do it.
Who wants to start there? I've not written the character names down because you know them more from the original actors, don't you? Yes. I guess you agree on it. So I've written Emilio Estevez, Judd Nelson, Molly Ringwald, Ali Sheedy, and Anthony Michael Hall.
I've written the character names down just in case people.
Perfect.
Just in cases. Absolutely just in cases.
Stu, who have you got in Emilio Estevez's role?
I was going to go initially with Sam O'Maguire from Grand Jewel, but I'm not going to. I'm going to go with Zac Efron.
Okay.
Ooh.
Yeah, that works.
I'm giving you a clap with that one. Yeah. I think you've already beaten my one.
Yeah,
I think
he's got a lot of previous working within schools.
Yeah,
he's probably got.
Do you want to clarify that just in case we get slapped with a lawsuit?
And I mean, he's got that kind of, obviously all the stuff he done in High School Musical. He knows how to play a jock, and obviously Estevez's character in that is the sporty jock.
And what's interesting here is the thing I've struggled with the most is we need to cast young actors because it's a school thing. Yeah. Obviously, the original Breakfast Club, they're probably all about 30, right?
I rewatched bits of it yesterday.
Yeah.
And I was like, mate, I'm so out of, like, this is the one I struggle with because even the younger actors I'm suggesting here, they are like
older,
closing in on their 30s.
That's
nearly
what I thought on Zac Efron. He's not a young lad, but I think got that. He's still, he works in that world still. So I think
it's not unusual for actors to play, you know, you look at any of the sort of, any teen movie, most of the actors are fucking in their 20s. That's just a thing that happens, especially the blokes.
Yeah.
Which gets into that weird, creepy world of why are the blokes always a bit older than the ladies. But in any event, yeah, it is hard to get this right.
Chris, who have you got in this role?
I had Tom Holland.
Tom Holland. Okay. I toyed with Tom Holland. That sounds weird.
Who doesn't want to toy with that?
I toyed with Tom Holland, actually, but I wasn't sure if I'd have him in Emilio's role or Judd Nelson's role. But,
yeah, I get it. Yeah,
I didn't go for him because of who I had in Judd's role because I didn't feel Tom Holland felt quite jockey enough. I guess it's because he's played a few different nerds, but he is bodied up. He is a cool lad.
Yeah. Give him the chance to show a bit of range.
Yeah.
If you've watched Uncharted, which I watch with my mum, I love all the action films with my mum. It's a happy place and really enjoyed that. And he plays a little bit more rogue in that. And so just go a little bit further and because he's not like the full on bully of the classroom, is he? He's kind of he's in serving detention because he bullied some other lad. But I think it's all because of the shit he's got at home with his dad. And I think Tom Holland could sort of like show that bit of depth of his character and do it. But yeah, I still think that Stu's shout is the stronger one at the moment.
It's good.
I struggled on this.
I'll say up front, I struggled not to just keep putting people from Stranger Things in it. So I've got it written down as being spelt D-A-C-R-E. Is that a name? I don't know if I've misspelt that. Dacre Montgomery, the lad who was in season two or three.
Yeah, he's brilliant.
Yeah, really good looking lad. Really, he's got the kind of the face of a mean jock.
He's
a heartthrob. Yeah, I've got him there. But again, I think Efron probably wins out there anyway, even though he is a bit older.
I think that actually does a good John, to be fair.
Yep.
Judd Nelson, I think he could do that role, you know, like the sort of like the absolute rebel. The thing with that is such an easy recast from Stranger Things because that is almost the same person.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, you know, he comes from sort of like the wrong side of the tracks. He's involved in doing all the things that kids at school shouldn't be, like carrying knives, drugs, getting tattoos, piercings. That was what Dacre was in Stranger Things.
Yeah.
Have you seen on YouTube? He's like, I love watching these the audition tapes.
No, I've not
that
seen
they
it.
Get, that get leaked on YouTube. They've got him doing his audition for Stranger Things.
I need to look at that.
It's fucking, it's so good. It's really, really good.
He's
it's
a like, cool just, looking lad.
Yeah, he's a cool looking lad. So for me, you know what? I'm gonna hijack that because I think Stu's won it with Zach, but I think like I'm gonna just hijack Dacre for John and just be lazy and just okay, say
I like it.
I did have. Can we move on to John
yeah,
now?
Yeah, yeah,
shall we? I did have Boyega for John. I thought mm-hmm. John could maybe. I just think. Just because they've both got the same first name, no. I think even if you go back to like Attack the Block and his roots, I think he can play a real good tough guy.
Yeah.
And again, it's this thing where I was really struggling because he's not old. If you're listening, John, tweeting, but he it feels
he's
like
old
weird
because
he's got to be what he's got to be 30.
He's made
one.
He's played
surely.
Grown men. Kind of thing.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? He's played
yeah,
older yeah. than he is in certain
yeah.
roles. So
putting him back into a classroom just feels a bit weird. But then you could say the same for Dacre Johnson. And I think I we're massacring his name, I'm mm-hmm. absolutely certain.
Yep,
so we're really
idea.
Sorry, mate. But congratulations, you got the job.
Yep.
So stop crying about it.
Stu, who have you got in the Judd Nelson John role?
I'm gonna go for Nicholas Hoult.
Right.
Ooh,
okay.
Just because when he was in Kill Your Friends, he mm-hmm. played a fantastic arse. And
yeah.
And Judd Nelson's character, he's the best character in that film.
Yeah.
And he's, you know, a broken soul. But the front that he gives off, he's terrifying. And I've seen Nick Hoult do that in Kill Your Friends. So that's why I went for him.
I think there's two I'm quite confident on here.
Mm-hmm.
And one of them is this, because I've got...
Mm.
A Timothy Chalamet.
It was a bit of a bad boy, hey?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. He was really good in, was it called Bones and All? He was playing, he's playing like a cannibal type lad, but a bit of a kind of a rebel, a rogue, a bit alternative and all that kind of thing. Yeah, he's in everything, Stu. He's in the June franchise.
Call Me By Your Name.
Call Me By Your
good,
Name. Little
good
Women.
Acting. Yeah. He's fucking wicked.
He's
I love
shit.
The Timothy Chalamet, Tom Holland power couple. Mm. To be honest with you, that actually might start. Zach might start sweating because they work well together. Well, they're good buds.
Yeah.
Can you imagine their lifestyle? I don't know. Sometimes no, I get
it?
Lost in this little fantasy realm of what it'd be like
handsome,
to be
handsome, talented
20s.
Young men. How annoying.
Like, Zendaya going, my boyfriend Tom's filming Uncharted. I'm just going to go over to some, like, I'm just going to go and visit him for the weekend on some tropical island.
Well,
I mean, get your head around that.
Keeping it,
she might come up.
Keeping it in the family. I've got Zendaya in the Molly Ringwald role.
Yeah.
So,
it's interesting.
Because she's played really kind of squeaky clean characters, as well as obviously going in the Euphoria direction. Partly that was because
awesome.
I didn't want to just sling Sadie Sink in from Stranger Things again, another Stranger Things casting, because they're the main young people that we all know, and they're so, as we've said, they're so comparable over to these 80s characters.
Completely, man. I thought like when you're thinking of the Breakfast Club though, like all the names we're naming, they all would be trying to, I think, really try and muscle in on this. And like you would even have like Sophia Allison, I think, again, who's always played a bit more of a clean edge, is Millie Bobby Brown.
Yeah.
I think she could probably pull that off, like a bit more of a, you know, the sort of like high school sweetheart, the cool girl, but play it with a bit of a vicious edge, as much as Anna Taylor-Joy, who you gave
Taylor
a shout
Joy
out to
would be
earlier.
Really good in this role, actually, yeah.
Yes. We've jumped all over it because did we all... No, we have done it all, haven't we? Because you were saying John, you were saying Nicholas Hoult for John, wasn't you, Stu?
Yeah.
See, I was thinking of him for another person. So, shall we finish off?
Let's finish off the Molly Ringwald role as I've gone to Downer. Who have you got in that one?
Yeah.
Stu?
Jesse Buckley.
Jesse Buckley, great shout. Big fan of Jesse Buckley, my Taboo castmate. Yeah. And she's just amazing in everything.
Everything. Absolutely everything. Yeah, just I think one of the best the UK has at the moment. And
it's interesting that's a good curveball. This is going to be hard to knuckle down.
Yes.
I'm noting that.
That's a hotly contested role, that, because everyone's really name who's been thrown in there can really smash
it. Really
that.
Good, yeah.
Oh, God. It's a tough one.
So, moving on then to the Ali Sheedy role. What's the character name, Chris?
Confusingly enough, it's Alison.
It's Alison.
So this
is the one I'm most confident on. So, Stu, would you like to start here?
Yeah, I'm going to go for Lil Sims.
Lil Sims, okay, that's good.
Mm,
I mean, we could turn this all British. Stewie. This could be a full British Breakfast Club, because I could see John Boyega in the Emilio Estevez role.
Mm-hmm.
I was going to go Australian. I was going to go for Lord, but I'm not. Lord, okay. That's why I went for Lil Sims in the end.
That's a good shout. I mean, she's cracking. She's cracking in Top Boy. She can play that sort of, I think that more, she's portrayed at Alison as more the crackpot, isn't she, a little bit? That's how people see her.
Yeah.
And so that's a decent one. I went for, and I mentioned this, I think we did this on the Drunk Cast when we were saying, what have we watched recently? And I said that I'd watch that show, Never Have I Ever, which was written by Minky. She's Mindy. She's in The American Office.
Mindy Carlin, yeah.
Yeah, Mindy Carlin. And, yeah, Kaylin. And so, but I think the lead in that, Maitreyi Ramakrishnan, I think she's wicked. And her role within Never Have I Ever, she plays a girl who, I said this before, she's kind of got a lot of things going on since the death of her father, and she can easily fulfill that role, a bit of a tormented person who people might give the side eye to. I think she could do that role real justice.
Okay, I like it. I've gone for General Ortega here, who is
very
huge
good.
At the moment. Obviously played Wednesday.
Yeah.
Is in X, is fantastic, is in the Scream reboot franchise thing or continuation. And yeah, I just think she'd be perfect in this role.
That's a really good shout. I think this is going to get cast.
Yeah.
I think this is actually going to become a thing now. I think, like, you know, there's so many strong names being mentioned here. That's really good, mate. That's a really good one.
So let's wrap up on the Anthony Michael Hall role, the kind of nerd of the group. Is this where you had Nicholas Hoult in mind, Chris?
Yeah. But again, it's just this whole thing of like, fucking hell. He was doing, like, the age Nicholas was doing Skins is the age he should have been fucking, you're casting.
Yeah,
do you know
what
I mean? And Skins was 20 years ago or something, 15 years ago. So it's kind of odd. Like, I think it's because I don't have such a grasp on the really young acting talent coming through that I haven't been able to, like, absolutely smash some of these other roles.
Yeah. Stu, who you got?
I'm going to go for Charlie Cooper from this country.
All right, I like that. I think he'd play this well.
Yeah. This was the one that I was going to cast Chris in as this
really
kind of strawberry blonde nerd.
Strawberry blonde?
Blonde. And I did also consider, but he's probably too old, but Richard Iodi might be quite good at that role.
He's probably too old. I mean, it'd be good as the teacher.
But yeah, I'm going to go for Charlie Cooper.
He played the famous Dean Lerner in Garth Marenghi's Dark Place. Yeah. He was an old producer.
Yeah.
I mean, he was acting older than he was in that, I guess.
I've got a guy in here who I think would be perfect for it, but I'm not particularly expecting either of you to know who he is. Lucas Bridges. Good young actor. He's in a film called Waves. He's been in so many good films in recent years, just always playing that kind of slight background nerdy character, but really smashing it out of the park. But that was the casting I struggled with the most on this.
Yeah, same.
As said, it's that you need a young person, but that nerdy role. So let's nail these down. Who are we going for?
Can we put a shout out, though? Because I think, like, the teacher, the headmaster, the piece of shit headmaster, he was one that I also thought of casting. And also the janitor as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, in the janitor role, I had Jeremy Renner, because I think he's a bit of a man of the people, or John Berthenol, because I think he could empathise with
John
the kids.
Berthenol
like the
would be great as a grumpy old, but yeah.
But knows the score, and it's kind of like the antithesis of the horrible sort of headmaster. Yeah. And for the headmaster, for some reason, I'd want to see Sir Ian McKellen play a horrible piece of shit. But I actually saw online some good shouts. One of them being Ralph Fiennes.
Yeah.
I think it would be really good. And so, someone else had said Paul Judd.
Yeah.
So I bring him back as the grumpy, because of who he plays in the original was John, like the rebel. But wouldn't it be interesting to see him as a spiteful head teacher? So there were just a few like additional ones that I was thinking about.
So who are we going to settle on these? Let's firm these up. Who are we going for in the jock role?
Oh, well, we were leaning towards Estevez. Do you know what?
Efron.
I think Zac Efron. I think if we went Zac Efron here, if subject to everyone's agreement, you could then, because then who was we thinking? Either Tom Holland or who was the other person?
I had Timothy Chalamet down.
You could easily put one of them in as Anthony Hall's character, potentially playing the nerd.
Yeah.
So, do you know what I mean? Like, so they might actually...
Well, let's put Tom Holland in the nerd role. Let's put Efron here.
Yeah.
Chalamet as the rebel. Or no, let's...
It's tough one, that. It's tough one, that, isn't it? Who else did we have down as the rebel? It was Dakir, wasn't it? That was another person that we mentioned.
And who did Stu put forward? Who did you have in the Judd Nelson role? Oh, Nicholas Holt.
Oh.
I think we can push Holt out because he feels older at this point.
Yeah, I agree.
Oh, even though Efron's older. But I think Efron's just, he is that role. That's what he's known as, that jock type thing. So I think Efron.
Yeah.
And then, shall we put Tom Holland in Anthony Michael Hall's role?
Yeah, let's do it.
You can go nerdier.
I think you could go nerdier, definitely.
And Timothy Chalamet then as the rebel Judd Nelson.
Yeah, for sure. Look at this. This is coming together, right? Because then...
Molly Ringwald role. Yeah. Who are we going for? I like Jesse Buckley, but...
Zendaya.
Zendaya sits perfectly because of the rest of the cast.
It's gagging for it. It's gagging for it.
And people will be all over it because of the relationships there.
Exactly.
And then who on... Again, I think General Ortega's perfect in that role, but I can't believe we're going to have only one of Stu's picks, when I think Stu has nailed every character.
Yeah, He's done so well.
Yeah, who are we reckoning? Are we going with Ortega or are we going with Lil Sims?
I think...
Can Lil Sims go American? That's the question.
We'll phone her up and ask her.
Yeah.
Also, Ali Sheedy's character barely says a word.
Yeah, that's a great point.
Yeah. So would you? Yeah. All right. I think give it a shot.
Yeah.
Because of filming conflicts. Anyway, some of these people are going to turn it down. Like Jenna could easily play the It Girl, I reckon. Anyway.
Yeah.
You know. So We've got this covered.
How are we doing on time, guys? Because I'm aware that we're going really long. We've got a whole another one to do. Have you got time to do the 18 quickly?
I've got time. Let's do it.
Yeah. I've got time. Let's get on to the fucking 18 then.
Let's do it.
I'm such a nerd there. I've put General Ortega / Lil Sims. I'm not. Like, we'll see who's available, and we'll get them to audition.
I feel it's. I would still get Maitreya to audition as well. She might slip in there in the back door and grab it.
We'll get them all in for it.
Yeah,
I also like the idea. I was going to suggest it, but I felt we were too tight then, of starting again and doing all British, so we can have Sims, Jesse Buckley, and a few others in there. But yeah, anyway, let's move on to the 18. We've got a cast: Hannibal, Face, Murdoch, BA, a guest female teammate, and a guest villain.
Absolutely.
That's our cast. And who wants to start?
Who wants to start? So, Stu, did you watch A-Team, or was it a little bit... was you
already, A-Team must have been prime your era, cool, right?
No, you'd have already had a job by that point, wouldn't you? Maybe you wouldn't have had time to watch Saturday TV.
Yeah. Like, that was... I remember watching the pilot. They put the pilot on at 9 o'clock on a Friday night, and it was actually the bit in the credits where you see BA in his dungarees and his red skin top, put his arm on the seat and look over his shoulder. That was like in the pilot.
Amazing.
Yeah. And I remember like staying up and watching it with my dad and just thinking, this is the coolest thing ever. Yeah. Unbelievable.
It's incredible. I think like all three of these that we've picked, or you've picked, Pip, all have got insanely good theme tunes. Like, so you've got Don't You Forget About Me for Breakfast Club.
Little fact on that. Do you want a fact on that?
It's a music-based thing. Here we go. He's perked up now. Go on.
So, obviously, that's performed by Simple Minds.
Yep.
When that was written, it was written for Duran Duran, and they turned it down because they didn't have time.
Yeah.
Really? So that should have been Duran Duran singing that.
It's crazy, isn't it? It's a banger.
Classic. And the 18 theme tune is absolutely incredible.
It's a beast, isn't it?
Can I just say before I remember the
era when they'd play the 18 theme tune at club nights and people would lose their shit. I've definitely heard that at the Pink Toothbrush.
Anyone that's ever saw my band, we walked onto that.
Yeah,
so we would all stand on stage and then you'd just DJ Destruction were playing in 1969 a crack commander, you sent prison for the crime being committed today to wanted by the government. That's why I was just a fortune. If you can find them and you have a problem, maybe you can hire. Then he'd cut it and we'd chat serious problem. Then he'd drop the machine gun in and then we'd go straight into the first song.
That's so good. Yeah. Can I just go back just quickly? I really did, even though I found it really difficult, but I actually think all John Hughes movies would be really quite interesting to recast now because there's so many banging films.
Yeah.
I think I'd have to polish up on my young actors to really tighten it in.
It would be everyone would just be going over the five we cast in Breakfast Club.
But, you know, there's going to be
but John Hughes did a lot of that as well. He did a lot of using the same people. So.
Weird Science, Planes and Trains, which isn't a young one. Uncle Buck is a mixture of ages. 16 Candles, Pretty in Pink. So you've got a good old... that would be quite fun. Anyhow, the 18.
A Weird Science would be a funny one. Right. Would you like to start this time then, Chris? We'll go back to you.
Just one thing, Hannibal, right? Mm-hmm. And going back to the opening theme thing, there's a bit in it where Hannibal's smoking a cigar, surprise, surprise, out of a fucking, like, it looks like a dinosaur outfit.
Yeah.
It's a lizard.
It's a lizard. And I'm always, like, watching the episode, just trying to see that scene, like, always, oh, this might be the episode where he's in the lizard outfit.
He opens a kind of a hatch. Yeah. Doesn't he? And his face is there.
I think that's in the pilot.
Is it in the pilot? For fuck's sake.
Oh, we need to get on the pilot.
Oh, I miss it. Because back in those days, you watch it and you either saw it or you didn't. There was no like, oh, I'll try and find it on YouTube
or
streaming
service.
Tune
in this week. Hope it's the lizard one.
Hannibal. Right. So, George Peppard.
Yes.
Infamously didn't get on too well with B.A. Baracus because he stole his shine. Because of just how big a character Mr. T is. He was potentially a little hard to work with. Great actor, did some great roles, a lot of charisma. And also that, I think, was shared with him and William Shatner. I think they're both like that. You know, their sort of reputations of being quite strong personalities, great charisma. And I think Chris Pine, who played William Shatner, William Shatner's boots for the Star Trek reruns.
Yeah.
I think he smashed it. I think he played James Kirk to a T. I think it really was a great modernization of that character. Yeah. And I think, you know, as a he could play the leader, he could play Hannibal play him really well.
He played the leader in Star Trek essentially and in Dungeons and Dragons, that kind of role of being the, yeah.
Yeah,
the leading force, you know, despite being a bit of a maverick still.
Yeah, he would love it when a plan comes together, Chris Pine. And he's also quite handsome.
Yeah,
as well. Maybe too handsome. You don't want to take too much shine away from face. But,
well, let's
you know,
not
you
get
could...
too hung up on too handsome, because my pick here is incredibly handsome. But Stu, I mean, it's not Stu. Stu, who have you got for...
He's got to go and cast against Jack Black and James Corden.
imagine sitting in that corridor waiting to go in for the casting. You look to your left, there's James Corden. Your right, there's Jack Black. In the middle, it's Stu with him. Go on, who have you got?
Well, I think it's about age with this one. So I initially thought of like that kind of older, because he was a lot older than the rest of the cast, George Peppard. Yeah. I initially thought somebody that slick, always got a solution. I did think Daniel Craig, but I think I'm a bit tired of seeing that. Then I thought kind of someone that was probably a bit too young. I kind of leant towards Taron Egerton and I was like, who's in the middle? Who's in the middle that's super cool, handsome? I'm going Paul Rudd.
Paul Rudd.
Mm.
Okay.
Mm.
Okay, I like it.
Yeah, I did see that one coming, but it is pretty good. I could see him stealing it away from people. The casting, if they're not on their A game.
Well,
that's me backhandedly saying not good enough, but also well done.
I mean, this one feels like a home run for me here because
okay, all right.
I've got George Clooney.
Oh, that is really good.
It's a fucking home run, isn't it? It's Clooney.
Yeah, kind of is.
All day long, he's got the charm, everything. He can smoke a cigar.
In that corridor going, I've got this. He's looking over at fucking Paul Rudd and going, Paul Rudd's a fucking diamond, but I've got him beat. And then fucking...
Clooney walks in.
Fucking Seth Gecko walks in.
With an espresso.
Yeah.
And you just think,
afternoon, gents. Ah, fuck.
Yeah. I think me and Chris can sling ours into room 101.
I've lost it to the guy who's started his career with Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Bollocks. Yes. But you know what? George Clooney was my absolute. I remember when Dusk Till Dawn came out, and he was just such a cool dude, man.
Well, it's perfect because he's got that. Wouldn't you have loved to have seen Hannibal's history? Because he just appears on screen as this old veteran, cool guy. Clooney, we've got that. We've got his Dusk Till Dawn, he's out of sight, all of these. He's at that age. So,
He's got it. He's got it,
hasn't he?
We don't even need to cast him.
I was pleased on that. Yeah. So, Chris, who have you got for face?
Right. So, I mean, I had a crime this morning, and I'll explain how that all came about, and then listeners can be like, this is confusing.
Okay.
You need someone who's really handsome, obviously, who's really charismatic.
Yeah, I'm blushing.
I'm aiming for blonde.
Okay.
Sorry, mate.
Move on.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Alexander Skarsgård.
Now,
I was thinking
of him for Tigra, but I was like, he's too good for it. Now, I think he's got a lot of charisma. He's played comedy. He can get into a comedic sort of. He has got funny bones, I believe. Like, I don't know if you've seen even his little cameos in things like Atlanta and stuff like that. Yeah. He's good.
Yeah.
He's just insanely handsome.
He is. I'm obsessed with him. I think he's amazing.
And like, you know, ever since I saw him in his like little naval sailor's outfit in Battleship,
right,
he's had my heart.
Yeah.
And I don't fucking...
For me, it was True Blood, but yeah.
That was... You know what? I only watched the first season.
Yeah.
And he sort of like was in it a little bit. Was he called Eric in that?
Yeah.
I can't remember. And,
yeah.
Derek. But I didn't... All right, calm down, Stu. Fucking hell. but I didn't get into the second seasons where he was way, way, way more prominent from what I hear.
And he gets
but
even
I saw
sexier.
Him in that outfit in Battleship. And I won't have a bad word said about Battleship. And okay, I think
we'll
it's an amazing film.
me and
we
Stuart
see him at UFC, didn't we? He's handsome boy.
We saw him at UFC.
Oh,
I got a photo with him. Yeah.
But that's what made me shed a tear this morning. I was like, I love Battleship so much. And I was thinking about the scene. The scene where all the old timers are there.
Yeah.
And they're like, basically, it's like, all hope is lost. All the modern ships are sunk. And Taylor Kitsch goes up to the old timers. They're like, oh, what are we going to do? And then you see all the old timers on the boat. And then he walks up to him. He's like, gentlemen, you've given more to this country than we could, you should have had more. And what I ask of you now, I should have to. And they're like, what do we need from you, son? And then the Thunderbolt theme tune just starts. And I'm just getting so pumped up. These old times are putting together a battleship, and then like by the point Rihanna walks in the gun, like one of the engine rooms, and they go, you've worked on destroyers, huh? And then she's like, yes sir. And he's like, time to play with the big boys now. And I'm like, yeah. And I'm like, why am I so emotional about like a film that absolutely bombed at the box office?
For most listeners, this sounds like a fever dream that Stu's that Chris
really
is having.
It sounds
here.
Like someone's recounting a bad dream.
Yeah.
Mate, I fucking loved it. And like every
or a
Christmas
kid who's telling a story and hasn't got an ending, so just keep going. and then Rihanna walks in, and then
oh god, it's incredible. I just fucking love it. I absolutely love it. It's a Christmas movie thing, and I will always talk about Battleship every opportunity I get. Anyway,
have you seen Infinity Pool yet?
No, I haven't.
You like it? It's really good, and it's Skarsgård, and it's weird and fucked up. It's horror, sci-fi, sexy, really everything that you're into.
Right on my sheet. So anyway, and just a little bit more on the Skarsgårds. We did a top five on there on families you want to be in, and the Skarsgårds are just the best family in the world. And if my parents would have replaced me, so if they'd have done a quick baby switch, no one would have known.
What could have been?
I spoke a lot about why Alex Skarsgård would be the best role in Face, but that's obviously a misdirection. Obviously, Ryan Gosling is Face, so you know.
Right. Okay. Okay. Gosling is a good shout. I was going to say I love Skarsgård, but I'm not seeing him as Face. But good misdirection.
I just wanted to Gosling talk works. About Battleship.
Gosling works. Stu, who have you got for Face?
Brett Goldstein.
Oh, yes, very good.
Okay, I like it. Mm. Brett Goldstein could work as Face. I'd rather make him play Murdoch.
No, Mama, no one, let me tell you this now, no one is getting anywhere near my Murdoch.
Okay.
No one's getting anywhere near it.
Okay, I like it.
Interesting.
Brett Goldstein as Face. Well, Chris has gushed over Skarsgård for 5 minutes. Stu, do you want to get into Brett Goldstein for a bit?
I'd like to get into him for a lot longer than a bit. He's lovely, isn't he?
Yeah, like,
people don't need to hear us free one of the munch off Brett anymore because we've done it for years because he's just bloody lovely and it's so amazing seeing the success he's having because it's amazing and well deserved. And I think
he might be too hairy for Face. I think that like his eyebrows are too thick.
As soon as I started to question any of it, I started to think of all the Face bits in the opening sequence, and I can imagine Brett in all of them, giving like a look round and a little smile,
opening a door in a suit. Just like,
all right, calm down. Hands
looking great.
Hands where I can see them, Stu. Well, I've got a curveball for this one, and I think it's really good. But I think Gosling and Brett have both been really good as well.
Yeah.
As said, natural screen presence, natural charm, allure, smoothness. I've got Jennifer Lopez.
You have really gone for a curveball there, haven't you?
I think J-Lo would make a fantastic face.
Okay. I mean, what I like about the A-Team, a little bit like the Thundercats as well, it being from the 80s, I think you would get a lot of pickup of picking people from these sort of areas. She's got sass.
Yeah.
She's really good in Hustlers.
Yeah,
it's a bit of a curveball. I can see her going for it.
Struggling on the face front, and that kind of like that's she embodies everything I think of from Face. But yeah, I'm throwing that out there. We best do our Murdochs first, Chris, and then we'll end with Stu's as he's bigged it up. I'll go with mine first. I've gone for Lakeith Stanfield.
Oh, that's incredible! That's a really fantastic. Good
he's in Atlanta. Yeah. He's in Sorry to Bother You. Really good actor. Really
Uncut Gems.
Kind of Uncut Gems. Fantastic. Yeah.
He's seen loads.
Really
of
kind of got his, like, a really unique style about him. Like, you really, yeah, he stands out and he's got a certain way. That's
a great shout. I mean, to me, because my one is a little bit of a, obviously, when they did the A-Team in 2010, they cast Bradley as Face, which wasn't a bad casting, to be fair. But
Bradley Cooper. There we go,
Bradley Cooper. Yeah. But the thing that made me immediately go, "What the fuck are they doing?" is they didn't cast Jim Carrey as Murdoch. Like I couldn't. Like to me, like that was the playground chat. Was like, well, obviously, if they redid A-Team, not A-Cast, they would.
Who would play Harris? Who would play Liz?
Jim Carrey would obviously be Murdoch. I mean, he was born for that role.
Yeah.
It's just that, so I struggled to move past Jim Carrey because I just thought, all his stuff on SNL and everything, like Dwight Schultz played Murdoch incredibly. And I just think that it's difficult to feel that, but I think Jim Carrey really could have done. Yeah. But I can't move past it. So you seen Lakeith Stanfield, I was like, that's great. I think he could play quite a lot, like he could do it from outfield. I like that curveball way more than J-Lo.
Yeah, okay. I'm accepting of that.
But Ryan Gosling obviously won that one. So
I mean, Brett's in there, so it's a tough one. I'm not writing off yet.
Yeah, so that is me. I can't get past Jim Carrey. But Stu, who you got?
Joe Gilgan.
Oh, that's really good.
Howling Mad.
No, you ain't getting near that. He'd be perfect.
Oh,
that's a great shout.
That's really good.
I think you're right on that. I love Lakeith Stanfield. Mm. I think if you were more familiar with him, Stuart, it'd be a bit of a conversation, but I still think it's a conversation that Gilgan would end up winning.
Yeah, I agree. Like, also, Lakeith, it's whether or not he's busy. He's a busy guy. So is Joe.
Yeah.
But I think, like, maybe Joe would edge that on the... It depends. It depends what they want to do with their budget and stuff like that. And I'm sure there's absolutely... As I say, I couldn't really think past Jim Carrey. And I think there's a load of good people that you could put in for Murdoch, but yeah.
Now, just jumping on B.A. Baracus, I'm going to have to remove my choice.
Oh, okay, right.
I had gone for Jonathan Majors, who's such a good actor, amazing in Creed 3, he's bulked up, he's huge.
When you said...
Currently going through a massive domestic assault charge thing.
Yeah, yeah.
Not many details are out, but it sounds bad because all of his, like, his management have left him, his agent have left him. So I don't know what's going on there, but it's not a good one to theorise on at this stage. If I'm switching it out on the Creed front, Michael B. Jordan is a big dude. For some reason, he feels too... He doesn't feel quite BA to me. But yeah,
he doesn't. So I'm a massive fan of Michael B. Jordan. I think when he played Killmonger in Black Panther, I think that was a wicked villain. Fantastic, I thought he fucking chef's kiss. I thought he nailed it. I really like Creed. I thought Creed 3 was really great.
Yeah.
And it's a bit of a mad one about Jonathan Majors at the moment because it's that conflicting thing of watching him from like Lovecraft Country.
Yeah.
And then all the things he's done. Well,
from Last Black Man in San Francisco. I went and saw that at this cinema. It had a really limited release over here. It's the last film I went to see with my brother, weirdly. It's why it sticks in my mind so much. Amazing. I'd never heard of him, and he's just astounding. But
yeah. Great in Creed 3, bodied up.
Ridiculous.
So have you done your shout? Shall I move on to mine?
Who have you got?
I think, calling back to one of Lakeith's buddies from Atlanta, I think Brian Henry...
Right.
Who plays Paperboy?
Yeah.
Could play a really good B.A. Baracus.
Yeah, because it is a comedy role. Despite him being the tough guy, it is a comedy role. I ain't getting in the helicopter.
And Paperboy is he's not a million miles away from that. And Brian's got a naturally resting grumpy ass face as well. And he's also a big lad.
Have you seen him in Bullet Train?
Yes, that's what I mean.
He's got a bit of action in there, isn't he? Exactly. He does that really well.
Yeah, Bullet Train, I really enjoyed it. And also, he's got really good acting chops. Not just Atlanta, he's done theatre. I think he could really... He's got a massive range, that lad. And comedy as well. Even things like the Godzilla versus King Kong. I think he could do it. He's 6'1", which is actually taller than Mr. T.
Yeah.
But I think he's big anyway. Get him on that Thor training program for a bit.
Yeah.
Cover him in fucking necklaces, and I think you're not doing too bad there. Mr. T. Yeah. There's a few good options.
Who else have you got?
But yeah, Mike Coulter. But anyway, Mike Coulter, who played Luke Cage.
Right. Yes. Just, that's for a great
example,
show,
for example, go on. Stu, is it you?
Stu, who you got? Michaela Cole.
Okay.
Okay.
I think that as a curveball.
Super funny in Chewing Gum. Just badass as well. Just absolutely badass. And seeing her hanging around with UFC fighters recently as well. So I'm loving that. So I think she's a bit handy as well.
That's a really interesting curveball because I think she could play a really intimidating, wild card tough guy. She's quite tall.
7'4". I've just checked.
That's interesting. I wouldn't have thought of that at all, but... I'm liking it.
Yeah, I like that as well. I think
in the BA section, there's been none that have... I like your suggestion, Chris, but this has made me, on the comedy and the tough kind of element, I think she could play a really unhinged, intimidating, the muscle of the group.
I think Henry would walk in there thinking he's got that role.
Yeah.
And Michaela could snatch it from underneath him.
I think you're right.
Yeah. I mean, any chance to get Michaela? We've had top five most inspiring people, haven't we, Stu? And she was at least in mine, if not yours. She's just the shit. So any chance to get her into something? And I do think that works. I do think it works.
It caught me off guard, and it was
everyone going, "This is PC culture gone mad." This is, I mean. Yeah, no, I think it's brilliant. I think it's a great shout. Yeah, I'm annoyed because I thought Brian Henry was a fucking good shout, but you might have got that one there, Stewie.
I think he's nicked it. So we've got guest female teammate and guest villain because there was always a woman that they were saving, I guess. But let's make
No, they'd always end up helping. No, the first series when the 18 first come out, there was Mr. T, Face, B.A. Baracus, Hallie Mad Murdoch, and Amy. Amy was the fifth member.
Right.
So for the first, certainly the first season, there was Amy, who was one of the 18.
I love it. Well, let's cast that role then. I'll jump in on this quickly at the start. Yeah. I've got Aubrey Plaza, who I just
that's a good show.
Amazing. I think can do your drama and your comedy so well. Amazing in White Lotus. Amazing in just, everything. So I can't get enough of Aubrey Plaza at the moment. So that was, and this is what these ones really are, isn't it? It's not like we're not casting anyone specific, really. It's like, who would be good in this world? So,
You could definitely get a few. I think Aubrey's a good choice. I had down Emma Stone or Margot Robbie. I think both of them. The reason Emma Stone, I think she could play a small town girl, or also Margot Robbie is like,
and it's both people who can drift that comedy and drama and kind of be a bit tongue in cheek. Yeah,
and they can easily play the whole like general's daughter got mixed up in an arms deal gone wrong. And I think that both those get, there's so many people you could cast in that.
These are the loosest ones here.
Yeah, it's easy.
Stu, have you got anyone you'd like to add?
I'm going to put Billie Eilish up for this one. I think it'd be quite an interesting guy. I nearly went with Jodie Comer and I was like, I think she's too heavy for it.
Because look at Killing Eve.
I know, I think I just put her in there because I want to watch her in everything.
Comer would be decent as Howling Mad Murdoch.
Or as
BA or as Hannibal. She's brilliant.
So that's why I think I'm going to step back from
it. And let's let Jodie Comer, Eddie Murphy, the A-team. Let's let her play every role.
Billie Eilish, I'm going to go for.
Have you seen her in Swarm?
No.
I haven't watched that yet.
Series on Prime.
Is that Jordan Peele?
No, it's Gambino. It's Childish Gambino or Donald Glover. He's written it. It's really good. She's in one episode. I've got one episode left to watch. But it's decent. It's quite mad. It's quite out there. It's about... It's essentially about the Beehive, Beyoncé's fans. But they've changed the kind of name and everything. It's about an obsessive fan group who are called The Swarm, which is clearly the Beehive. And it's about this particular fan who gets a bit too obsessed. But it's quite mad, but it's worth a watch. A guest villain, who are we saying?
So
I feel weirdly confident on this one, strangely, even though it's so open and could be anyone.
The good thing is, like, if these all cast well, that we can do, like picture this, Ray Winstone, ex-Special Forces, SAS mercenary, has been recruited to fucking go and recapture the A-team.
All right.
Like Colonel Decker.
Exactly. But he's obviously got a bit of an East End villain sort of vibe to it.
It's like having a different person on for the A team than it was for Thundercats, isn't it, Riff Stew? This one, he's leaning forward. He's like, Colonel Decker. Oh, Amy, Thundercats. He's sitting there like, Barry Gibb.
Jet, maybe Lightning. Who cares?
Anyone, whatever, a girl from the 80s. But
sort of like embodying that whole like scum sort of persona that he played in that. Like, where's your tool? This fucking tool. And he does that in like early on in one of the episodes because they can swear in this version of the A-team, I've decided. But then basically in one of the last scene, like act three, peak of act three, the chips are down, darkest before dawn, the A-team is stuck in the garage, surrounded by Ray's forces, and then you just hear fucking... Who do we have? George Clooney.
Shouting
out, "Where's your tool?" Ray Winston goes, "What tool?" And then Clooney says, "This fucking tool." And then they burst out the garage in a speedboat that's been welded to a helicopter, just guns blazing.
With a couple of snooker balls in a sock.
With a couple of pool balls, because it's American.
Rattlesnakes attached on the side.
That's peak A-team, that is.
Lion on the front of it.
Welded to it.
It's Barry Gibbs on the front.
Stitched it.
Stu, who have you got?
Well, it's a purely selfish one, just because I've never seen him in a film, and I think he'd make the best bad guy ever. And so, if this is my my casting, I'm going to cast Nick Cave as the bad guy.
Nice,
Cave as
like
the bad
it,
guy.
Yeah,
all right,
like
that'd be
it,
interesting.
Yeah. Nice.
Does anybody look more sinister than Nick Cave?
Yeah,
no, he looks no, so no, sinister.
Yeah, absolutely.
He wouldn't have to say much. It'd all be looks he gives.
Absolutely.
And then when he does open his mouth, his voice is equally sinister.
Yeah.
I like Perfect. It. I've got Mads Mikkelsen.
Oh, cracking. Yeah. Jesus.
He feels
I've
like
watched all these episodes.
Yeah. He feels like he'd be perfect in this world and just he'd slot right in, 100%. Effortless.
Yeah.
Right, let's firm this up.
What's he doing? I want to know more, though. What is he doing?
I haven't written it like you have, but sure. Let's go.
Yeah.
He's another army general of some sort that's tracking him down.
He played Le Chiffre in fucking Casino Royale, and that was just a wonderful Bond villain. The fact that he cried blood, come on, man. Like, it's like the character had depth. It wasn't just that crying blood, just not just some simple gimmick. I just thought
it sounded as if you said he cried blood, come, because you just followed with that he was saying, come on, man. He cried blood, come on, man. Jesus, that's horrible.
That's what I was thinking.
So Clooney's a lock.
Yeah.
Who are we going for face? I think Lopez has been pushed out. I love it, but I think it's Reynolds. Goldstein's winning it for me for my...
We didn't even say Reynolds. Ryan Reynolds. Gosling, sorry.
You guys
want Goldstein, but I think you're wrong. Like, I love Brett. I love
Don't
Brett.
Don't sound like it.
I love him. And I'm sure at some point...
What's your problem with Brett, Chris?
Well, other than him being a cunt.
I mean, that's a good point. Let's go Gosling.
Yeah, Gosling.
So we got Gosling in there. Joe Gilgan all day.
Yeah, good shout.
As Murdoch.
Yeah.
I'm leaning towards Michaela Cole on BA.
Yeah, I'm down with that, absolutely.
I really do. I wouldn't have gone there at all. It caught me completely off guard, but I think it's great.
Yeah.
And then Amy, as we're calling her now, as we didn't know that was actually a character in it. Who are we going?
Oh,
I think they're all good.
They're all decent,
aren't they? I like Aubrey Plaza in there. I think she'd fit, but I think...
Margot Robbie's good.
I was going to say, avoid Margot just because Ryan have just done Barbie.
Well, that's part of the thingy of it. Like, as a little, like, you know, Ryan's doing the thing and then Margot pops in just for a little cameo. It's like, oh, great, look at that chemistry.
But then you've got that with Emma Stone as well.
Emma Stone,
La La Land.
Exactly, yeah. It's tricky, ain't it?
Oh, did you say?
And American Gangster, I think. Was that them? Oh, anyway,
I was going to say Jodie Comer, but I palmed her off for...
Who did you... You switched
Billie Eilish.
Billie Eilish, that's right. Eilish is interesting. I think Eilish is too young for the age of this group.
Yeah. It gets a bit weird that.
Yeah,
I mean,
they've got a young girl coming around with them in their van.
I thought you thought really well out of the box with Michaela, but I think you've gone too far with Billy.
Right. Okay.
I think you're the sort of casting director we're going to have to fire.
Get back in your fucking box, you cunt.
Yes. I think we're going to have to fire him because he's been getting younger and younger with with the girls he's trying to hire.
Well, let's go for Emma Stone, maybe.
Yeah.
Because I don't want Ray Winston. Even though you wrote a whole story on it.
I think
Mads Mikkelsen sits comfortably there.
Yeah, I'm happy.
And then we've got two each. So that's a lovely one to end on. It's a nice even spread. There we go. We've perfectly cast all these films. If any film companies want to get in touch with us as casting directors, give us a shout. Speaking of Brett Goldstein, actually, Brett had, who was it? James Acaster, believing for years that Brett cast... I think it was Casino, because there's a casting director called Brett Goldstein. And I guess James had looked it up and Brett just on a whim just went, yeah, that was me, I cast that. It was like...
But Brett would have been about fucking 16.
But again, he was like,
sure.
Yeah, it's easy, isn't it? I'll have Pacino. Yeah, I'll have De Niro. It's like, because it is one of those films that anyone could cast because it's just the best actors in every role.
God.
And Acaster believed it for... ages and years ago, one of the first times I went and recorded as something with James, Brett came up and he was like, did you know he cast Casino? And I messaged Brett immediately going, James has just said something strange to me, and I'm pretty sure it's bullshit. It's like Casino. Like, yeah, yeah, he's believed it for years. I've kept that going for years now. So that's a perfect note to end this on. Thank you for coming along, guys. It's been a bloody
pleasure.
It's been a joy. What is ahead for you guys? You got anything you'd like to plug?
Ooh. We're gonna go on a little trip, aren't we? A little trip away in Shu's new camper van.
Excellent. Yeah, because you bought a camper van that you're kind of setting up as a mobile recording studio as well, but also a kind of a tour around the country.
He's provisionally
type bedroom.
He's provisionally said yes to the Lake District, but it's like paint. It's one of Stu's yeses where I think he means no, and he's going to try and worm his way out of it because he's got to do all the driving. But I'm very much keen on. I've never been up there, so I think it'd be quite a cool little adventure for us to record some top fives up there and meet some of our listeners on the way, and maybe.
Well, no, we've actually started to release stuff more consistently for free because we moved a lot of the content to our Patreon, and we're continuing to put a couple of episodes up each week over on the Patreon, and we put the videos and stuff up over there for hard quality. But we do also put out an episode to the general public, generally every Monday morning. So
I love it.
Yeah, check it out on Acast.
Well, beautiful stuff, gents. It's been a pleasure, and we'll do this again soon.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Absolutely.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you.
You've been listening to Scroobius Pip's Distraction Pieces.
There we go. I hope you enjoyed that. And I hope you enjoyed the gradual waking up of Mr. Stuart Whiff in there. He's turned 50 since we recorded this. A big happy birthday and love to that man. But yeah, I hope you enjoyed that. And we really are relying on your kind of social media interactions, tweet, Instagram, Facebook, your thoughts and opinions, who you think people should be, and who you'd like to see us talk about in the future. Because you might be able to change our minds on what we've cast here. I know there was a few absolute gold ones there, mainly from me, but, you know, that's a case of opinion. I'd like to apologise. We will try, if we do more episodes of this, we will try to stop Chris talking about battlefields. No, not battlefields, battleships. Yeah, I'm back next week with another fantastic episode. Until then, stay safe and stay sane. Ta-ta.
Okay, I have two new obsessions that I need to share with you. Impress No Glue Press-On Manis and Impress Press-On Falsies Lashes. Trust me, these are getting ready game changers. Both require no glue, so there is no damage to your natural nails and lashes, no mess, and no annoying dry times. Just one step and you're done. Boom. Instant glam. Visit impressbeauty.com/presson and use code PRESSON25 at checkout for 25% off Impress manicure and Press-On falsies.